The downfall that I see to the massive amounts of weight loss that can occur on these medications is because people have such low appetites, they're under eating. And that is one of the ways, one of the mechanisms that they're losing weight. As that weight is coming off, it's not just fat. So people are losing a lot of lean muscle and thereby having long-term negative effects on their metabolism.
Hey, I'm Jackie Kirshen, obsessed with all things sustainable weight loss, mindful eating, transforming minds, and empowering you. I'm a registered dietitian and mom who's lost 65 pounds and grew a successful coaching business helping other women do the same. Join me to learn tried and true weight loss secrets while healing your relationship with food and your body. You'll get unfiltered real talk, support, and some tough Jackie love as we dive into motherhood, mindset shift, entrepreneurship, and mastering this crazy thing called life. Think of this as your one-stop shop for a coffee date with your best friend, guide, and mentor mixed with weight loss coaching. Tune in to be challenged, encouraged, and laugh as we change lives together. Welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mindful Nutritionist Show. This is part two of Caitlin Johnson's incredibly dense, amazing interview about PCOS, infertility, insulin resistance, all of the things. So if you are just tuning in and finding this episode, hi, I'm so excited to have you here. But I really want to make sure that you start with part one because that's where we really start from the beginning and talking about, you know, what it is like to battle infertility. Also really treating and dealing with symptoms of PCOS and also when it comes to sustainable weight loss, right? So if you have not listened to part one, please go there. If you're coming from part one, I am so glad that you are back. I'm not even going to hold you any longer. Let's dive right in so you can keep getting these golden nuggets from Caitlin. Again, how to have these practical tips to navigate PCOS, get pregnant, and sustainably lose weight. Let's go. But before we dive into today's episode, I just wanted to take a minute to shout out to our amazing podcast sponsors. We have PETA 22 and Juice Jerky. You guys will hear a little bit more about a sweet offer that they have for you. But first, let's get to the episode.
Yeah. I say let's go with the order of what you may be prescribed. So first off, like, one of the first things a doctor will think of when they're going to prescribe for you are you trying to get pregnant or not? If you're trying to get pregnant, you may be offered letrozole or Clomid to help stimulate ovulation. Even a lot of OBs are willing to prescribe this without doing any other diagnostic testing and just give you 3 to 6 cycles to try one of these medications. And if that doesn't work, they'll then often forward you on and refer you to a fertility clinic. I think that is an approach that is very short-sighted because, again, I'm seeing a lot of progesterone issues and early miscarriages in patients that haven't been helped to treat root cause things like insulin resistance and inflammation prior to using those drugs. So whether you want to use those drugs or not, it's nice to get some of those things under control before you try to conceive to increase the success rates of everything. I'm not anti-Clomid or letrozole, but I think that they have a time and a place, and there are some foundational things that should be addressed early on before you move on to that. At the very least, getting on a quality fish oil, prenatal, and myo-inositol, I think, are kind of like no-brainers if you check that box of yes, we're trying to conceive soon. If you're not trying to conceive soon, you're going to be offered a hormonal contraceptive. It's like part and parcel with having PCOS. Like, that's just what you're going to get offered. I think that there is a time and a place that makes sense. I really believe that with any medication, Clomid, letrozole, hormonal birth control, or any others that we're going to talk about, informed consent and a really honest, not brief conversation about benefits, risks, alternatives, is necessary because I got put on birth control as a teen. Nobody told me that it was going to shrink my clitoris. Nobody told me it would increase my rates of anxiety or depression. Nobody told me that the reason why they wanted me on it was to lower my risk of cancer. So if I chose not to do it, that I might be increasing my risk for cancer. Like, it was just basically like, if you want your symptoms to go away, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
Nobody told me it would decrease my libido.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're hearing that and you're going, hormonal contraceptives do that? Yeah, they do that. And if you get out that like little thing, it's actually a really big long sheet folded up 40 million times in your birth control every month. It will talk about these things because they're real.
And
even having said that, there were times in my life that that was the right call for me.
Yeah.
And I have clients that it is the right call for, and I recommend it all the time. Or they'll say, I want to get off it, and I'll ask why, because things are okay for them right now, and there's not really necessarily a reason to go off of it. That being said, do your research. Not all hormonal contraceptives are very helpful for PCOS. You really want one that's going to increase something called SHBG and lower androgens. And as with anything, we want the lowest effective dose for you. So trying to get on a contraceptive that works for your purposes at the lowest possible dose, I think is important. I don't think women should be prescribed it and then just left on it for 10 or 15 years. And that's just all too common.
I mean, I was on low estrogen for 16 years. And so when I got off it, and after 6 months of trying to start a family, and I was like, this isn't working. Well, when did you get your period? Oh, I haven't gotten my period. It was like, oh, well, let's, again, the root cause. And it started with, you know, acne. And of course, you know, just being protective. But I wish there were more discussion around what my options were. It was just like, well, you want to make sure that you don't become a mother at 16 and you don't have acne. Here you go. Here's birth control. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really sad that that's the conversation, because we are, you and I are the ones that really get defrauded there, because maybe you would have found your PCOS earlier if you'd known that acne was a symptom of it, right?
Probably like, would have. And I didn't realize my weight was an issue. And I didn't have a choice. I was 16, you know. I was just like, okay, well, my doctor is telling me I need to do this. Like, I'm not going to argue with that.
No, and my 16-year-old brain was also like, and now I can have sex and not get pregnant, you know?
Exactly.
So it was like, it also, like, I didn't have to have this fight with my parents about getting on something. I had, like, a medical reason to be on it.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there. But I think that hormonal contraceptives are something to really consider when you do also want that birth control piece. And when your symptoms are so extreme that it is getting in the way of your everyday life, like you can't handle life because your acne is so bad, you can't handle life because your hair is falling out so much, we can work on the root cause things while you're on birth control and try and wean off later on. Like, it, if it's really helping your symptom picture so much, I would tell you to take anxiety medication. If you were having debilitating migraines, I would tell you to take migraine medicine.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have this thought, and there's a lot of rhetoric around right now about how bad the pill is. And I think that as with anything, the pendulum is swung too far both ways, and that it has its place. But let's move on to the insulin resistance things. So metformin is probably the least expensive, both for an out-of-pocket expense or for your insurance medication.
Yeah, when I got mine, when I started IVF, it was like 30 cents. I was like, what? And these horse pills, they were like massive.
Yeah, and free for so many people.
Yeah.
It's inexpensive. It's widely used, fairly safe. It does the job for a lot of people. As it helps lower insulin levels, which it does in a number of different ways, you can Google that. We don't need to necessarily talk about it. But that lowering of insulin levels trickles down to your ovaries, and then you make less testosterone. And for some people, that's all they need to ovulate. It can also help support weight loss, because remember how that other message, insulin sends, is store fat. If you're sending less of that message, and then we set you up in some sort of a weight loss pattern where you're burning more calories than you're eating, or it's inefficient because we've lowered your carbohydrates and you're in ketosis, your body's working harder to get the calories out of your food. Like, we can make weight loss happen, and it'll happen a little bit easier if your insulin resistance is improved. And you can do that with medicine like metformin. What we're seeing with things like Ozempic and Wegovy, they work in a few ways. One of the ways that they work is extreme side effects. So nausea. I know a few people personally that when they take it, they have diarrhea for 2 or 3 days, like some real stomach upset, or the other end of the spectrum, they're constipated. And when your stomach is really struggling like that, it doesn't sound good to eat.
Yeah.
So just trying to avoid side effect symptoms, people eat less, and that will yield weight loss. Another way that they work is to truly decrease appetite. So a lot of people that I know that are on these medications just they don't really enjoy food. Doesn't sound really good. They're not thinking about it. I've had a couple patients on some of these medications, and one of the things they said that they really loved is they didn't feel consumed with thoughts of food all the time. They felt like a normal person that would just, like, when lunch came around, then they thought about lunch. It wasn't like they woke up thinking about all the meals they were going to eat and just, like, thinking about food all day long. That was a really interesting perspective to hear. It kind of enlightening for me a little bit. And then the way that we see GLP-1s help with weight maintenance is a multifaceted approach. I mean, it has an impact on gut microbiota. It has it has far-reaching effects, and it's a fairly effective drug. So if your goal is weight loss, these are pretty helpful. But when you contextualize them, and we see that in almost every study, when people go off of them, they regain weight and more. When people go off of them, their appetite comes back with a vengeance. When people eat, so then there's no exit strategy. Like, what is the exit strategy? The downfall that I see to the massive amounts of weight loss that can occur on these medications is because people have such low appetites, they're under eating. And that is one of the mechanisms that they're losing weight. As that weight is coming off, it's not just fat. So people are losing a lot of lean muscle.
Yeah.
And thereby having long-term negative effects on their metabolism.
Before we continue with today's incredible episode, I just wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit more about our amazing sponsors of today's podcast. So let me tell you the sweet deals that they have for you. Hey, San Diego foodies, let me tell you about my latest obsession, Pita 22 in Carmel Valley. It's not your average Israeli restaurant. It's a flavor paradise tailored perfectly for your taste buds and health goals. Imagine Mediterranean dishes crafted from scratch with love and fresh, healthy ingredients, no sneaky artificial additives. From homemade pitas to labneh and even tomato sauce, there are no shortcuts taken here. And their menu is a dream for everyone. Vegetarian delights like house-made falafel and crispy cauliflower with tahini, which is my absolute favorite. They also have family-friendly favorites like chicken schnitzel, which my daughter Olivia loves, and the softest homemade pita bread you'll ever taste. I've spent 11 summers in Israel, and trust me, this is the best Mediterranean food. And here's the best part. As a Mindful Nutritionist Show listener, when you head on over to Pita 22 and use the code MINDFUL, you'll get a free hummus. Yup, that is a special treat just for us podcast listeners. So whether you're in for a hearty grilled kebab or a delicious weekend breakfast like shakshuka, Pita 22 has got you covered. I'm a regular, the flavors never disappoint, and perfectly complement your wellness journey. So join me at Pita 22, indulge in fantastic flavors, and remember to use the code MINDFUL for that free hummus, and I can't wait to see you there. I have to tell you about my family's latest fruit snack obsession called Juice Jerky we found at a San Diego farmer's market. It's a guilt-free, delicious, and smart choice for your health journey. I was confused by the name at first, but when I learned it's just blended and dehydrated fruit that's lower in calories with no added sugar, I had to try it. It has this amazing texture and chew just like jerky with sweet, tart, and spicy flavors like my favorite mango pineapple. My daughter Olivia loves the blueberry. And the best part, no blue stained hands or mouths here. Why do I love it as a mom and dietitian? Well, it's an easy snack and so versatile. Top it on cereal, yogurt, or even use it as a cocktail garnish. It's my go-to car snack for days chauffeuring Olivia around with no sugar high, just a tasty pick-me-up. And you get a special treat as a podcast listener. Use the code MINDFUL at checkout for a sweet 15% off your first order. Yup, a delicious discount just for tuning in. Whether you're on the go, at the office, camping, or packing your kids' lunch, Juice Jerky has your snack game covered. Indulge your taste buds, make a mindful choice, and get that 15% off with code MINDFUL, and let's snack smarter together.
So if you could just like wipe a slate clean and somebody said to you, like, I can give you this medicine. It's going to give you diarrhea. You're going to have no appetite and food will not give you pleasure. But you could probably lose 60 pounds this year, but you need to keep taking it and food will give you no pleasure for the rest of your life. But whenever you're done taking this or you can't afford it anymore, you're probably going to gain that weight back. Plus some. Most people won't sign up for that.
Yeah.
But psychology tells us that we're not so concerned about that like 16 month, 3 year thing. What we're concerned about right now is that our genes don't fit or that we have insecurities about our bodies and my marriage is struggling, or, you know, it's like, it's those other things in our self-esteem and the fact that our hair is falling out and we're overweight and we can't get pregnant and we're attacked on so many different fronts. The desire to just feel like we're making progress is so necessary for some people that they'll do these extreme things. And I've seen them be really helpful for some people. I've seen some people get on it, lose 40 pounds, and now they can exercise because their joints don't hurt as much.
Yeah.
And they have more energy than they had before. I've seen people go on them and do really poorly. And I think with anything, it's not just what is it going to do for me, is what isn't it going to do for me? What it's not going to do for you, like, let's ask the right questions here. It's not going to help you learn to eat a high protein breakfast. It's not going to force you to get outside and go for a walk and change your habit. And so if you are not the kind of individual that can commit to doing those things alongside of it, it's literally just like it's its own diet, kind of like every diet. As soon as you go off of it, what happens? You gain it back plus more. This is going to be just that for a lot of people. We're going to see wide swings. But I think one of the encouraging things about it is that for somebody that may be looking down the barrel of bariatric surgery, maybe this is something that could give them a chance to do something less drastic and give them an opportunity at making behavior change that they've struggled with in the past. And so I'm not completely like anti Ozempic, Wegovy, GLP-1s, like that category. I'm not anti metformin. I'm very pro. What is the patient sitting in front of me? What are our goals? What are their individual, what things are going on in their lives that are making it difficult for them to reach their goals? How do we navigate those? How do we set them up for success? And having an individual conversation about that, because, you know, you and I actually have very similar stories and had very different approaches and ended up in very similar places with fairly well managed PCOS and babies or babies on board. And, you know, so there's, what's that saying? there's more than one way to skin a cat. It's such a terrible thing. But there is. There is more than one way.
I agree. And especially when all of it came out. And I remember I posted a video. Dr. Peter Attia was talking about, you know, how we're looking at DEXA scans and many of these patients were losing so much, you know, skeletal muscle, muscle mass and things like that. And I remember it went like viral and people were just like, it was these two camps. It was like the people who are on it, who are like obsessed and like, this is bullshit. I'm working out every day. I'm more muscular. This is that. Blah, blah, blah. And then you had the other people who, and even lots of my clients, some of them, I have one currently right now on Moderna, and I had others who just, the symptoms were just awful. They felt so bad. And, you know, they try to push through and if we're finally like, Jackie, should I continue this? I was like, if you're going to kind of like when you explained it, like you're just going to not enjoy food, you're going to be having diarrhea, you're going to feel awful, you're going to feel nauseous, especially coming out of this first trimester. And I'm just like, I mean, Zofran is my best friend right now, and Diclegis. And I was just like, I cannot imagine feeling like this every single day to fit into those genes. So I do think I agree with you. And there is a time and a place, and I support my client who is taking it right now. We've upped her dose and we're monitoring, but I asked her the other day, she's down about 20 pounds and it's been slow. And I said, if we were to stop this medication, do you feel like you'd be able to maintain it? And she said, no. And I said, we still have a lot of work to do together, because we, as getting her in tune with her hunger and fullness cues, like you said, making sure she understands how to balance her plate and, you know, eat to the point of satisfaction. It's just, it's something that, again, every single person needs to decide what's best for them. And it's not a black and white answer when it comes to this. So I'm just so grateful for all of your knowledge. I mean, for all of the people who are nerdy like me who love science, they're going to love this because you just have this way of explaining the science in lay terms, which I think is very important for healthcare providers to do. Because again, you and I, it was just like, here's your I remember even asking when I was prescribed the metformin before my transfer. And as I was gearing up for the retrieval and everything, I was just like, do I have to? And my doctor just kind of like dismissed it and didn't even like give me an explanation. And so it was just kind of, and I understand, like you said, I was a very exciting patient because they're like, oh my God, 40 follicles, like 25 here, and feel like I had so many, but also I was at risk. I was very high risk for over hyperstimulation. So it was very carefully calculated with my medication. And making sure that I didn't, like, I felt like I had rocks inside my ovaries. I had so many that were 18 to 20 millimeters. You don't think millimeters is big, but wait until they're all blown up. So I appreciate this. I mean, we could keep going. And so I know that you have your kids and everything like that. So we'll have to continue this conversation because there's so many other things that I want to talk about that we didn't even get to finish with our last live when we came to the scale and all of those things. I have one last question for you, and especially personally, you know, I know that you've been through your own fertility journey, you've been through your own weight loss journey, and I love that because, like me, I feel like we get to relate to our clients on a whole different level. And, you know, when you have the definition of empathy, that is the definition. I have walked in your shoes. So what is one time when one door closed on you, either by someone or it happened, and then another one opened that maybe has helped you really guide your clients in a direction that has been really good for them?
Yeah, I there's one that I can remember with a very different OB than the one I described that made me want to work with women. And I asked her, like, I feel like the big question I need answered is, like, when am I ovulating? Am I ovulating? You know, like, I have infrequent bleeding. Is there ovulating preceding it? Because just because you bleed doesn't mean you ovulate. She's like, yeah, we got to figure the answer out to that. And so just go buy a bunch of OPKs, ovulation predictor kits. And I was like, well, they don't really work on me because, like, they tell me I'm ovulating all the time. And that can't be true because I'd be pregnant if I was ovulating all the time. Like, if I was fertile myrtle, there would be a bun in this oven, right? Like, this, that, they're not working. And she really had nothing for me. Which is funny because she could have been like, let's do serial ultrasounds and look at your ovaries and see, you know, like she really, and I knew nothing about this world back then. But so I went back to like the wisdom that women have had for a long time. And like, how does your body communicate ovulation? How does it tell you it's ovulating? Because it can and it does on its own. And so learning those cues of how your body tells you it's trying to ovulate, how it communicates to you that it did ovulate, was a huge piece of my journey in getting pregnant. And I've incorporated that into a lot of my fertility work that I think otherwise, you know, you can teach someone the things to do to help them to ovulate, but you still got to time sex right. And, you know, like you move beyond that. The reason why I know that a lot of women struggle with progesterone is I can tell you when they're ovulating, and then we test their progesterone and it's low. Wow. And it's when it should be high.
Yeah.
And so that has kind of opened up a window of opportunity to help couples get pregnant more quickly than my husband and I. Because what we learned was that I was ovulating. My doctor basically told me to have sex from day 12 of my cycle on until my period.
Like
every other day or every day. And I'm like, well, okay. What I didn't realize was I was having 45, 60, 70 day long cycles, and I was ovulating kind of towards the tail end of those, because you will always ovulate if you are 12 to 14 days before your next period. Well, that doesn't help you if you have varying cycles to know when to time sex. So learning those cues really opened a door, not to us actually conceiving alone, but to helping a lot of other people understand their own bodies, which I think is a whole different conversation, but is a very fair way, and if used correctly, a great way to avoid pregnancy as well without having to be on a hormonal solution if you don't want to, or if you're with a committed partner and you know you're not sharing bugs, like if you don't want to use a barrier like a condom. And then the other thing that strikes me kind of in that door closed, door open, was I took metformin and felt terrible. Like I didn't get the diarrhea side of things, but when I took it, it was like I was on a boat and was seasick all the time. And ooh. I couldn't do it. It was like being early pregnant, nauseous. And so I Googled, what are alternatives to metformin? And it sent me down a rabbit hole of, and this was like, you know, 9 years ago now, on inositol. And I basically I pulled every inositol study I could find, read them all, picked them all apart. And then that started me on kind of like a supplement journey of what natural options do we have with less side effects that we could implement. And so when we're, especially like in a conversation like this, where we've talked so much about insulin resistance and the medical options, there are supplements like berberine and inositol that perform as well as things like metformin, both to help with insulin resistance and to help stimulate ovulation, that can really go like head to head with research. And I would say I've seen also in my practice that address the same issue in a different way. And also have added benefit of like supporting progesterone levels or improving testosterone levels along with egg quality that could yield, you know, maybe a brighter chance at conception. So I do feel like that was, you know, if metformin had been great on my tummy, maybe I wouldn't have dug so deep into learning more about botanicals and herbs and supplements. And that's been a really profound way to help people too. So that's, I wish we could get to the point where insurance would cover research-based supplements, because I think that we could really change a lot of things in healthcare if we could get that done.
That's your 2024 project. Screw your app and screw your supplement.
Control yeah, go the take FDA. On go take on the insurance
pharma. Oh, I love this. Well, I mean, again, there's just so many other, when you were just even talking there, I was like, wait, I need to ask this. So we'll save it for next time. Tell everyone how they can find you.
Yeah. So PCOSfertilitynutrition.com. That's the main website. PCOSformularies.com. That is the, if you want to buy supplements in the US, that's the only place we're shipping now. If you go on app or Android, go to the PCOS app. You get 2 weeks free when you sign up, and you can get recipes, get encouragement. We send push notifications. Not, we don't like overwhelm you, but like we'll encourage you to have a high, you know, like when you wake up tomorrow, think about what protein you can add on your plate and just like little things like that that can impact your behavior and can be a nice reminder without being super intrusive. So those are things to check out. And we have that again on Apple and Android devices. And then YouTube is an area that I'm breaking into for short form content. So you can go look for me on YouTube. And like if there's a specific topic you're looking for, we're working on doing short form video content there that are more educational too, to get off Instagram. I'm like so done with Instagram.
Right. Love. Hey, oh my God, we need a topic. We need a episode on that because I feel you on that. Oh, I love this. Thank you so much for being so here. Welcome. And, you know, we'll definitely continue part two. But for those of you that, you know, are struggling to get pregnant or with PCOS, I mean, Caitlin is your go-to. So I'm so grateful. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You glad I broke that up into two parts? You're probably like, thank you, Jackie. That was wow. Wow. Wasn't that amazing? I mean, that was probably the most like deeply informative and empowering conversations. And I swear after I finished with Caitlin, I was like, damn it. I wish we had this conversation before I started my infertility journey. And it was just incredible to hear just like demystifying, like what is insulin resistance and the impact of all of these things and fullness cues and medications when it comes to fertility and managing our PCOS symptoms and just enhancing our reproductive health. So I really hope that you learned a lot about your body, right? Your body signals, your responses to certain things, and how you can be proactive when it comes to nourishing your body, right? Consistent movement and just making informed decisions and having informed conversations about medication, right? So again, whether you're dealing with PCOS, right? Whether you're dealing with infertility, it doesn't matter if you're just, you know, wanting to feel better in your body. I am sure that you have a new tip, strategy, piece of knowledge to make that informed decision for yourself, right? It's never just one thing. It's about the layering of the lifestyle changes. Remember, that is how it is possible for you to get the support that you need to feel best in your body. So I just really would love for you to just absorb and take a moment and consider implementing one of Caitlin's practical tips, right? Maybe it's, you know, tracking your cycle a little bit more closely. Maybe it is, you know, exploring the benefits of green tea or integrating more balanced meals into your day or the snack movement, right? I love that. I'm totally stealing that for her. So again, every step counts. So I just wanted to say thank you for sticking around. We're definitely going to have part 3, 4, 5, 6 with her because it was just such an invaluable conversation. And you know, I always leave you some sort of homework. I feel like I need to let you digest a little bit, but I definitely want you to let me know what is like the one aha moment that you had from today's episode. What is something that you want to implement to better your health and, you know, really make you successful on your mindful weight loss journey? So if you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please let me know. Tag me on Instagram, share it on your stories. I love resharing it and seeing those aha moments that you guys loved. And I promise we will absolutely have her back. And again, even if you don't have PCOS, I really hope that you gained a lot of insightful information, even just about how your body works. So until next week, I will see you guys then. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation just as much as I did.
As always, anything mentioned, any links, any notes will all be linked on our website, mindfulnutritionistshow.com. Just head on over there to take a look. And if you haven't connected with me yet personally, I would love to meet you. Come and find me on Instagram at the.mindful.nutritionist and please DM me. Let me know if you listened to the episode and what you thought. I seriously love hearing from you. Or come to the Mindful Nutritionist Show Facebook page and say hi. I would love to connect with you there. Thanks so much for being here and for being so amazing. I can't wait to chat next time.